This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.
Love God, love people, love life.
Pastor Trevor and Lynette, thank you so much for inviting me over here. I'm surrounded here by people from my past. So if I start... I might mention a couple. Have I got plenty of time tonight? If I mention a couple, don't be offended if I don't mention you. I might mention a few as I go through. If I start, I'm just going to go on and on forever. Though I do remember that the first church service I came to, I sat over there in about the third row, and Phil Stone sat down next to me. How scary was that for your first time in church? Whoa! But he came, he was friendly, which is probably what I needed. Yeah. He was also a dairy farmer, which I was. Hey, listen, when I was 31, I began a two-year journey under the conviction of God. Now, I didn't know I was under the conviction of God, but that's what was happening to me. I knew that I was, I'd always had a belief in God, but I just knew that I was in big trouble with God. Anyone ever identify with that? That's where I was as a non-believer. I was in big trouble with God, and I knew it. I wasn't talking to people about it. It led me to a place where a dear lady from this church put some material in the hands of a friend of Susan's who gave it to her, who gave it to me, and began a three-week intense journey where I came to meet Jesus. So my salvation's even connected back to people who are in this church, responding to the Holy Spirit. I bought a Bible, I read Billy Graham's book, and I turned to Jesus, and it was an intense time. And in my story, nobody was involved with me face to face. It wasn't like someone was standing up here talking to you about Jesus. But a specific key ingredient came through human hands. Don't you love our hands? Something special, the preaching of the gospel. Written material that explained to me that Jesus was the way to the Father. The way, the truth, and the life was placed in my hands. And I heard the greatest story ever told. Can you say amen, God's people? I heard the greatest story ever told. God loved me. Jesus died for me. Salvation through faith in Jesus was right there in front of me. The door to the kingdom of God was just sitting there. The kingdom was right there in front of me. It was wide open. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the 2nd of October, Wednesday, 1985, I walked through that door. It was a supernatural God encounter in time. And I walked in here to my first ever service as a Christian at 7 o'clock on Sunday, the 6th of October, 1985. I'm giving you a little bit of history in my message, but to take you somewhere. Reg Gilley, where are you? Is he here? Reg was preaching that night. He's the first preacher I heard as a Christian. I still remember his message. Profound. Impacted me. He had an altar call at the end and I walked out. I just knew in my heart I wanted to stand in front of people. You know, Romans says in Romans, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and acknowledge God before people. I walked out and stood with a few other people. I don't know who else was standing there that night. It was just me. But I was there and it was a special moment. On New Year's Eve 1985, my wife and I were baptized in this, I thought it was like a swimming pool back then. It was enormous. Where's it gone? Anyway, it's there. It's there. We were baptized there in a New Year's Eve service, and the pastor spoke a word over us. He said, I set before you a door that no man can shut. That was the word spoken over my life. Now, I didn't know what that was ever going to mean, but it got into my heart, and you have no idea how many times over the years I have stood on that word and spoken that word and declared that word for everything demonic and humans thrown at me to try and stop me doing what I am as who I am. Yeah, so isn't that exciting to think that in those few months in my life here had such a profound effect upon me? And I share that with you. It's not about me. I just want to encourage you to understand the history of it. I stood up here in September 1986 behind some big wooden pulpit. Who's got that in their garage? Oh, no one's got it? Okay. You chopped it. The pastor took him 6 months to get me up here. He got me up here to share my testimony on a Sunday night, 20 minutes. It was the scariest moment of my life. I was terrified. And I stood here, and seriously, my eyes glazed over, and the whole thing was a mist and a fog in front of me. But I did my best to read my notes, and about halfway through, I had a God moment standing right here, and everything cleared in front of my eyes. And God says, this is what you're going to be doing, standing behind a pulpit.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I'm just doing a little bit of personal history with you because I got something to share with you. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I'm just one of many, though, that has heard the greatest story ever told.
Yeah, right.
I suspect most of you here tonight, you know, you've heard that great story and responded to it. And then I've been impacted by a church. We were here for 14 months before we started in TAP. Profoundly impacted by this church through the late 85 into 86 and then moved on to what we were doing. I remember I would walk out those... I don't know where the door was. I think it was here. I would walk out that door and round the corner to the tape room. Does anyone remember the tape room?
Yeah.
The tape room.
Yeah.
And I would get the tapes of both services. And for 14 months, I would listen to both messages again during the week. And, you know, because one of my prayers as a new Christian was, God, teach me real fast.
Yeah.
And I listened to those messages every week, over and over again, and just let them get into my heart. So, Living Waters, Kyabram, 70th anniversary, thank you. Is it okay if I thank you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, David. I remember David. I remember that. I remember he carried a recorder, recorded his prophecies. Man, it was a scary world that I came into when I came here. People prophesying and recording messages and... Oh, let me not start. All right, here we go. So you heard the good news of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Your parents told you about Jesus, perhaps. Somebody, a friend, perhaps, brought you to a youth group and you found out about Jesus and you chose to follow him. You responded to that God awareness thing going on inside of you and you turned up in church one day and got saved, or your friend showed you a little trip through the Bible and showed you who Jesus was, or you ended up at Teen Challenge. And man, that's a revolutionary place to end up. You ended up there and met Jesus, and someone placed material in your hands, like with me, and you found Jesus. So many different ways that this could happen. So many stories right around this room. So many stories about how we met Jesus. But you know what? There's a common denominator. There's something that we all share, every one of us. We heard the story of another kingdom. Oh, kings and kingdoms will pass away. But we heard of another kingdom. We heard of the way in through Jesus. We heard the greatest story ever told. See, I love your prayer. I love your prayer. Come on, let's go forward.
Yeah,
this is what this is about. Come on, come on. We responded to that story. We were born again by the Spirit of God. We became Christians, followers of Jesus. Many steps happened all different ways, but we share this common denominator. We heard. Everyone say, we heard.
We heard.
Come on, we heard the greatest story ever told. Oh. In Mark 6, 7 to 13, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick. No food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave, to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So the disciples went out telling everyone they met to report, repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with oil. So Jesus called this incredible group of 12 men to himself, and he sent them out to do what they had seen him doing. And then he sent out another 72. This is just a little bit of background. And then he commissioned his church for all time to continue with this same journey. And on the day of Pentecost, 120 were there, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, just impacted. Peter's great message, 3,000 saved. And they all continued living the way that Jesus had modeled his life and taught them, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, calling people to repent of their sin, turn to God through faith in Jesus, casting out the demons, healing the sick. They changed their known world, and I want you to know tonight that they changed their known world with the greatest story ever told. I just want you to leave with that burning in your heart tonight. The greatest story ever told. Get captured by the thought of that. The greatest story ever told. Next PowerPoint. Focus in with me on verse 12. It says this. So the disciples went out telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And in the message, it says that they went on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Oh, come on. Sometimes I say the Message Bible's a mess and sometimes it's amazing. That's one of the amazing bits. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies, healing their spirits. Come on. Central to the sending out of the 12 was this. They preached a message. There was a message. They preached a message. Come on. They preached a message with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. They proclaimed the greatest story ever told. I don't want you to remember much tonight other than the greatest story ever told. You'll get the rest of it. It'll all drop in a line for you. My life became radically different because I heard the greatest story ever told. It didn't just change my heart supernaturally in a moment of time that absolutely amazed me, but it changed the history of my current and future family lineage. It cut through years and generations of garbage and rubbish and religious bondage and drunkenness into my heart and has set my family tree on a whole nother direction. That is so exciting to me. And many of you share the same kind of testimony. You understand the power of this thing, not just in an individual, but in a family. So I want to look together at how the greatest story ever told deeply and powerfully impacted one very well-known man of God in the Bible whose name was Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And he called himself, and I love this, I love the way he talks about himself, but he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and the sinner of all sinners. He basically said, I don't reckon there was anyone around who was a greater sinner than me. And then he had this encounter with Jesus. He met him and had that supernatural encounter. And he wrote these words in Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. He'd experienced it, and now he's saying, I'm absolutely unashamed because I know what this has done in my heart and I know what this means to the world that I live in. He is no way of salvation but through faith in the Son of God whose name is Jesus. To Paul, this was indisputable. To Paul, this was undoubted, and to us, it should be undoubted. That's how we all became Christians. Every one of you sitting here tonight had a revelation of who Jesus was. If you're a Christian, you became a Christian, you heard the greatest story. You responded to the greatest story ever told. You were saved through the hearing of the greatest story ever told. Isn't that amazing? We share this. The supernatural power of the greatest story ever told broke into our hearts and we believed. Everyone say we believed.
We
believed in the one that we heard of. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? More from this man Paul in Romans 15:17. He said, I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me. Look, it's an understatement. I've got reason to be enthusiastic, he said, in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. Oh, I got through that one. I always have trouble with that one. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. I want to look through that passage for a minute with you. Verse 18. It says, I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. You know, the only thing that Paul wanted to speak about, it was the overflow of his heart, was the salvation of the Gentiles. It's all I want to talk about, said Paul. Read all the other writings of Paul and you find the same theme over and over again through what he wrote. He was a man consumed, absolutely consumed with telling the greatest story ever told. He knew this story had to be told before it could be believed. It had to be spoken. It had to be verbalized. It had to be put out there somehow. Verse 19, Romans 15, 19. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have truly fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. Paul saw a full presentation of the gospel as a story. It's a story. You got a story?
Yeah.
A story with signs, wonders, and miracles following and confirming that story. But he knew that the story had to be told.
Yeah.
You got a story?
Yeah.
How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? God will confirm the great story with supernatural power. Come on. If there's no story, there's nowhere for him to put that supernatural confirming power. Once it's been told, supernatural power will fall all over it. I was sitting on an old green chair on my dairy farm in the end of September 1985, reading through a series of articles in magazines that God's people had placed in my hands. And I got to the bit where the scripture was quoted, John 14, 6, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And sitting on an old green chair, it's minding my own business, but caught up in a three-week journey. I had a supernatural encounter with God because some of God's people reached out and put material in my hands. And I can only explain it like this. It was like I had an anvil sitting on my shoulders and encasing my head. And as I read those words about Jesus, an anvil lifted off my head.
Yeah.
And a blind man could see. Come on.
Yeah.
How cool is that? That is so good. Supernatural power fell over the story as it was told to me. Look at how the Amplified Bible brings this out. In Romans 15, 19. Even, Paul said, even as my preaching has been accompanied with the power of signs and wonders, and all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit, the result is that starting from Jerusalem and as far round as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel, faithfully executing, accomplishing, carrying out to the full the good news of Christ the Messiah in its entirety. Now look at what Paul said here. He said, my preaching was accompanied. Notice the order of his words. He didn't say the signs and the wonders and the miracles by the power of the Spirit were accompanied by his preaching. He said his preaching was accompanied.
Yeah.
He spoke. Come on, the story must be told.
Yeah,
come on. How many of us are here? We've got a story. The story must be told. There's a better way to live than bound by sin and sickness and fear. There's a better kingdom to live in than the one you're living in. It's called the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
It's a much better kingdom. I've lived for 33 years in the other one. I know it's much better. The way in is through turning to Christ who died for you on the cross. His name is Jesus. I'm so glad you want to know about him.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? You just want to know about him. This story being told brings that supernatural confirming power of the Spirit. That's where the supernatural comes as we tell the story. So let's be absolutely committed to telling the greatest story ever told. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Romans 15:20 says, "My ambition," Paul said, "has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand." So Paul is excited about going to people who've never heard the gospel message. No one's ever told them that there's a better way to live in a better kingdom. No one's ever told them about the way and the truth and the life. No one's ever told them about Jesus. No foundation's been laid in their life. They're not wandering around for looking to a church to belong to. They simply don't know, Paul said. I want to go and I want to tell them about this. I was 33 years old when I heard about Jesus. And honestly, I have researched my memory, which can be a scary thing to try and do. But I researched my memory. In 33 years, I cannot find a registered, recorded memory of an encounter with a follower of Jesus. It shocked me. I had never been told in 33 years. Whoa. And these words echo in my mind, and after tonight, may they forever echo in your mind. All around us are thousands of people who haven't heard the greatest story ever told. Haven't heard. Seriously, they haven't heard. They live all around us. And you have to say with the scripture writer, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Romans 10:14 says this, "How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" You know, I just got to keep speaking this message to me as well. You may feel that life is good. You may feel, you know, like you may like how church is going, and you may even have a good desire in your heart to want to see some people come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. But how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they believe? This is the crunch for all of us. How can they believe if they've never heard the greatest story ever told? The wonder of this is that the greatest story ever told isn't just about Jesus. It's about Jesus and you. Yeah. That's why I've told you some of my story throughout this message tonight. Because like me, the greatest story ever told is now about Jesus and you. When you tell your story, it's not just an academic theory. When you tell your story, my story is no academic theory, believe me, nor is yours. It's your story. It's a life-transforming story. Doesn't matter whether you got saved in the last minutes before you are hung for sins in some jail, or whether you grew up knowing Jesus from the time you were a baby. Doesn't matter. It's you and Jesus. Can I show you a video clip? I think I need to sit down for 5 minutes. It's too exciting up here. Let's see if this works. Oh, it's a good song. All right. I won't sing it for you. If it's going to malfunction, let me know if you think it's going to kick on. But if it's going to malfunction, anybody, any Big Daddy Weave fans here? There's just a couple of us. Yeah, that's cool. But have a look at the clip. It's an awesome story. And he says, "If I told you my story, if I told you my story." You're a room full of storytellers here tonight. The greatest story ever told is now your story. Your story. Your story of who you were and where you came from and how you met Jesus. This is your mission on earth. Tell the greatest story ever told, all about you and Jesus. I've actually stood up here in 1986 for 20 minutes and told my story. It was the scariest moment of my life. Told it many times since. But tell your story with the words of your mouth, with your social media, through the ministry roles God's given to you. However you can do it, in every possible way you can, knocking on doors, walking on streets, praying about it, preaching about it, talking about it. Tell your story. Tell the greatest story ever soul ever told. How you met Jesus. Go and tell the greatest story. Go and tell people about how you got saved through faith in Jesus. Tell them how you became a follower of Jesus. Release the power of the Spirit through your life as you begin to tell the story. Take the opportunities that come to speak healing in the name of Jesus over sick. Speak deliverance and freedom over demonized and bound people in Jesus' name. See, it's as you go and as you tell your story that your faith in all you believe in is released and heaven comes to earth. It's as you go and tell your Jesus story that salvation and healing and deliverance and signs and wonders and miracles take place. It's as you go now and tell your story. Romans 10:14 says this, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Come on, will you make it your mission for the rest of your days on earth to tell the greatest story ever told? That's what we're here for. Come on, you and Jesus, your story, Living Waters Church, the greatest story ever told is your mission. Seriously, you captured me with a line in your prayer and you took on with it. There's something ahead that is good here. Let's celebrate the past, but come on, come on, come on. Something in my spirit said, come on. Go tell the greatest story. That's your mission. That's what Jesus taught the 12. That's the great commission that he left for us and for you as his church. I just want to remind you of it and read it to you from Mark 16. Just before Jesus went back to heaven, then he told them, he said, go into all the world and preach the good news to
everyone
who believes and is baptized will be
saved.
But everyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe it. They will cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And they will drink anything poisonous that won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick and they'll be healed. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven, sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand, verse 20. And the disciples went confirming what he said, what they said, with miraculous signs. That's what the early church continued to do. In Acts 5:42, we read, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. 70 years of celebration. I want to stir your hearts tonight. Come on, day after day. Don't look back. But day after day, in the church services, in all the programs you run, from house to house, from person to person, in season and out of season, from social media post to social media post, never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ. What else have we got to do? What else, my friends, have we got to do? It's the greatest story ever told. I have this thought, it's like, it's the greatest story ever told on repeat, repeat, repeat. It's the greatest story ever told on repeat, repeat, repeat. Come on, stand with me and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to stand here together tonight as your people. Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we express gratitude for those who reached out to us with the greatest story ever told. And we thank you, God, that they did it. And Lord, we want to stand on their shoulders and go forward with this message to a lost and dying world. God, however it looks in each of our lives, our personal lives, just stir us tonight. Light a fire, rekindle a past fire. Do something, God, that revolutionizes us as a people in this community. God, do something with us. Something powerful with us. Where we are consumed afresh by the wonder of our salvation, by the wonder of who Jesus is, and by his mission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. I've prayed for you. I've meditated on this and thought about it. What a silly message to come and preach. Something so basic.
No, it's good.
But it's not, my friends. It's not.
It's our mission.
This is our life.
Yeah.
It's our life. Yeah. It's our life. Let it remain our life forever and a day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Trevor, thank you so much for inviting me over.